This is Rut, Megillat Rut, session number 8. We are holding Perek Bet, Pasuk Tetvav. Batokom lelaket. Vayetzav boaz et naharav lemor gam ben haomarim telaket. Velo tachlimuha. We ended up saying last time that Boaz spoke to Rut, and we mentioned that from that conversation, it seems that Rut has already been converted. I told you the pshat in the Gaon that says the difference between, pshat in Malbim, that says the difference between Paolech and Maskurtech, that Paolech is when a person is like a contractor, and Maskurtech is when a person is hired by wage, by salary, and like a day worker, and we spoke about that. So it was mashma that she is already a gioret, and the pesukim, the drushos that we gave on the pasuk Yudalit, that the remazim that Rut, that Boaz gave to Rut, that different malchut will come out of her, and the time of David and time of Shlomo and La'atid Lavo. So you see that these are the hints that he was giving to her. After they ate, she got up to collect. And Boaz commanded his people, Lemor, Gam ben ha'omarim telaket, let her collect also ben omarim. Omarim is the wheat that are bundled, the barley that is bundled. Now, halacha is that when the barley is already bundled, you cannot collect leket from there. The leket, a person could only collect after the harvesters. So as the harvesters grab a chunk of wheat or barley and they cut it with the sickle and one or two falls out of their hand, they can't pick it up. But they cut a piece and put it on the side. They cut a piece put on top of that. And then they bundle it up. Now, if any branches fall off the bundle, that is not considered leket. Because only the branches that is falling from the cutting is considered leket. The bundle, the branches that would fall off the bundles would not be leket. So Boaz told them, let her collect even ben omarim, because he wanted her to get more. So don't worry about it. Just ignore. Velo tachlimuha, and don't embarrass her. Don't tell her, well, what do you mean? You can't collect from there. Don't say anything. Pasuk tet zayin, you're going to see a givaltike pshadim over here. Vegam shol ta sholula, and also forget for her. Min hatsevatim, from the bundles that you already made. Right? Meaning not only should you allow her to collect from the little branches that fell between the bundles, but even forget some of the bundles, small bundles, sevatim are small bundles, which means create a matzav of shikha. And shikha would also be something that the anim take. Anim take three things, leket, shikha, and peah, from the field. Right? Peah is the corner of the field that you don't harvest, you leave it. And she didn't want to go there, we said, because there is a struggle, they hit each other sometimes, the aniim, because kol hakodem zacha. Leket is people scatter around. It could be throughout the whole field as they're cutting and going, so the aniim scatter around. It's easier to collect it's less combative, less struggle to collect leket, but it's more difficult because you have to go around, pick up branch by branch, here, there, over there. And then there is shikha. Shikha is after the stalks are bundled and they're going now to be loaded on the truck or on the animal or somewhere. If the harvesters leave one bundle behind by mistake, they forget about it, that's shikha, and they cannot go back and get it, because once they forgot about it, that automatically becomes the aniim. So Boaz is telling them, first of all, even though leket cannot be collected between the omarim, between the bundles, because that's not leket, let her collect it. And not only that, make sure that you forget, quote unquote, some of the small bundles. This way, she looks at it as shikha, and she'll take it. Gam shol ta sholula min atzevatim. Also forget for her. Shol ta sholu, Rashi is going to say, that's right? Forget for her some of the, from the small bundles, va'azavtem, and leave them. Don't go back to pick them up. veliketa, and she should collect it, velotiga aruba, and don't scream at her. So, I haven't said anything. Regia, let me explain, and then you could ask. Let's see Rashi. Rashi says, gam shol tosholu, meaning shachowach tishkechu, which means forget. Asu atzmechem, make yourself keilu atem shokachim, as if you're forgetting. Targum kol shegaga, every time the pasuk says shegaga, is shaluta. Shalut means forgetting by mistake, you know, shegaga. Lechen al hashal. Davar acher lashon kishal zetecha. Okay, I'm not going to get into the details of that Rashi. Right. Kishal zetecha means when it falls. It's the same as leket. Tzevatim umarim ketanim. Tzevatim means small bundles. And you have yeshu dugmatum and mishnah. Mitzvah tzevatim, right? Mitzvah tzevatim or kerichot. Okay. So, says the Malvim, beautiful. He says Boaz wanted to create a situation for Ruth to get more food, the kavod. Why didn't Boaz go out to Naomi now and say, or before, and help her out? Because the question came up last week. He said Boaz was sitting Shiva. Why now that he sees that Ruth is over here, why doesn't he reach out to Naomi? He says, you know what? They're doing this. Let them get it becovered. If I go to them and I want to give them a handout or help, they might be embarrassed. So leave them alone. If they didn't come to me, I'm not going to go to them. But if she's collecting like that, let me give it to her more than what she deserves. Bederach kavod. So let her collect ben ha'umari. V'gam shol tasholula, and also forget for her. There is one problem. What happened if the leket is not leket, or if the shikha is really not a shikha, you are pretending, it's going to be a problem. No. That, give it to her. Let her take it. It's a gift. Tell it. That's right. Leket shikha and peor are patur from maser. Because anything that is a hefker for anim is patur maser. But over here, it's not really not leket. And really not shikha. Oh, it's going to be chayav b'maaser, it's going to be tevel, they're going to go home, and they're going to eat it. And it's going to be tevel, and they're going to be over the Isur. So Zog the Malmin, that's why the pasuk says, Tetzayin, Dabel Lashon, Yam shol toshol lo min atzevatim, also make yourself as if you forget some of the bundles, ba'azav them, and leave them. He says, leave them means make them hefker. Because when you make it hefker, then hefker nachamol is patur from Termos u'Maaseres. So this way, you'll be able to take care of the table problem.
Why is it more difficult if he lets her collect as an ani than to give a relative a gift?
Because if she's collecting like that, this is how much she wants, let her get it. If I come and give it to her more of a, you know, here at least she is doing like everybody else is doing. Right? Why should I interfere?
Like this, she's not indebted to anybody. Over there, when you do something to somebody, then they become indebted to you. Over here, because Hashem says, "Schar giving you," nothing to do with it.
Over here,
yeah,
right.
What number day of collecting?
Of her collecting, first day. She hasn't gone back yet. She's still in the first day.
But it seems one day she went home or something. She had a lot of bundles.
And no, we didn't get there yet.
That big bundle, what was that big bundle?
No, she was collecting big bundle, but she hasn't gone home. We're going to see soon. Next pasuk.
Even though we say she had such a big bundle that he was surprised that still he's giving her so much more?
Yes. This way she doesn't have to come back. Either, you know, because in his mind, let her get a lot. You know, she embarrassed herself one day or 2 days or 3 days that she's going to get. Let her get whatever, however much she would get. This way she doesn't have to be an honey. She has to keep coming back or going other places.
How much was the one that she had?
We're going to see. So, the batelaket basadeh. Now, you see, the pasuk points out, again, Malbim says this. Pasuk points out her nobility. Batelaket basadeh, she collected in the field, not between the bundles. Even though Boaz said, let her collect between the bundles, she didn't do that. She only remained in the field. Batelaket basadeh, ad ha'erev, till the evening, till the afternoon. V'tachbod ad asher liketa. And he also says, v'telaket. She did not pick up shikha, She only did leket, and even leket she only did in the field, not between the bundles. Even though Boaz allowed it, she didn't want to take it. She didn't know, so she just stayed with the leket that she was collecting. But tachmodet asher leketa, and she hit means that she banged what she collected. She banged it, so she got the kernels off the shaft, because you know, it's a lot of shaft, and it's going to be a lot very heavy if she wants to take all the stocks home. So she just takes the kernels, and she don't take the kernels home. But tachmudet asher leketa, v'hi ke'efas se'orim, and it was the size of efas se'orim. Efas se'orim, right? We said efa is 10 omer. Omer is the size of the flour that ladies use to make challah. To be mafish chala, which the minimum, according to the poskim, the minimum shura of that is 1,566 gram, which is a kilo and a half. Kilo and a half is more than 3 pounds, somewhere about 3.5 pounds. 3.5 pounds times 10, you're talking about almost 35 pounds of barley she collected.
How would you carry that?
Just the grains, 35 pounds of grain or barley.
In one day.
Kefa, sorry, in one day. So the shiur comes out like this. The Gemara says in Yerushalmi, that what's the average amount of leket that comes out of a field? It depends who the harvester are, but normal, regular, professional harvesters. How many branches, what's the percentage of the branches that would fall out of their hand? So the shiur is, the Gemara Yerushalmi says, four kavin per every kur. Right? Four kavin per every kur. Now, I don't know how much are the grams of that, but every kur is 180 kav. Every kur is 180 kavin. Four of those kavin. Four out of 180. Per 180 calf, four of them will be leket. What's the percentage? 2%. Almost 2%. 2.22222222%.
1/45.
Huh? 1/45th, that's right. Instead of 1/50th, which is 2%, is a little bit more than 2%, right? It's 2.22%. This is how much usually falls. So that tells you the size of the field of Boaz, the harvest of Boaz, was 4.5 kur. That from that comes out this much of the leket that was collected. But okay, so we don't know how much 4.5 kur is in our imaginations. But
that's only what she took, and that's only because he put out more, no?
Exactly. No, they didn't. They put out more, she didn't collect.
Okay.
Right?
Other people also said.
There were other people too, probably. You're right. So, at least this was the size of the field. It was a big field. Okay. Later. Vatisa pasuk yutchet. Vatisa vatavo ha'ir. She picked it up and she came to the city. And her mother-in-law saw what she collected. And she not only gave her that, she also gave her what she had left over from her lunch.
Ruth
gave Naomi the leftover of her lunch. Because if you remember the last pasuk of last time was that she ate. She ate and she was satisfied and she had extra. So she brought home the leftover of her lunch, gave it to her mother-in-law. Besides 35 pounds of barley that she collected today, and in her mind she's going to go back tomorrow also, because Boaz says come back again tomorrow. So she's going to collect probably another 35 pounds tomorrow, another 35 pounds the next day, till the end of the harvest, till Shavuot.
That
I don't know. Cash in the mice. What can I tell you? I don't know.
35 pounds.
Huh? And she did.
woman in double face was drunk.
That's
Yeah, they said this week they determined who is the strongest man in the world. It was a contest. The guy was able to carry 320 pounds, 325 pounds, 350 pounds, 300 and some pounds. And the way to do it was that he had to pick up a stone that was that size and carry it, and he carried three of those stones, and he got the title of the strongest man in the world. So that was 300 pounds, only 35 pounds.
And there's the guy.
Okay.
When they want to be.
Vatomer la chamuta. Oh, so why, what's the pshat that she gave over the leftover of her lunch to her? What's the idea for that?
She showed that she cares.
She cares, huh? So Malbim says that she was, her mother-in-law was very, very surprised at the amount, as we're going to see her reaction soon, right? So the Al-Sheikh HaGadosh says a beautiful word. Mother-in-law sees this beautiful girl who went out and collected unusually a lot of leket. So why would you think? What might she think?
Somebody gave her some gift for
something. Somebody liked her, gave her, like, you know.
What? No, stealing. She knows she's a good girl. But maybe there are some people who are trying to manipulate her. They're manipulating her. They're giving her extra gift and stuff, and probably they have ideas about her.
It sounds like Boaz did, actually. It looks like.
Well, the Boaz is doing it out of the chesed for Naomi. He's not doing it for, you know, to win her over. Okay, Boaz is not a youngster here.
He has plans for her uncle anyway. It's not him. He said he's.
Exactly. That's right. We're going to see that. Exactly. So Ruth preempted an activity to make sure that she would not think like that. So Al-Sheikh HaKadosh says that Mamush, exactly like that. He says, those days, Chachamim say, people were shatufim bezima. People were involved in during the time of Shoftim, as we see the end of the Sefer of Shoftim, people were involved with shatufei zima, they were involved with zanut. And the kotzrim, you know, very possibly the harvesters would give her amount of wheat to take advantage of her. You know, that could be a payment towards something. And she didn't want her mother-in-law to think like that. So when she showed her the leftover of her food, was that to let her know that it was all min hashamayim. That how is it possible that she would sit at the harvest and she would eat and she would have leftover? Why would she have leftover? Usually you take your food, you eat. Why would you have leftover? Right? So, Al-Sheikh HaKadosh says, because you have it in tomorrow's parasha, that she ate a little bit, umidbarech betoch me'af. Meaning, she took normal amount that everybody normally would eat. Except that she got satisfied with less than amount that usually people get satisfied with. It was min hashamayim, as the Pasuk says, right, in tomorrow's parasha, Shabbat's parasha, right, v'achaltem lachlechem lasova. Rashi says, you eat, and it you eat a little bit, and they're satisfied. So she showed her that, you see, preemptively, that this was leftover from my normal lunch. So once Naomi sees that, Naomi chaps that there is some nisim that are happening here. If there is nisim happening here, that also came in us.
Continue. Maybe somebody gave her more food.
No. Wait. Ruth is not coming to fool her mother-in-law. Okay? She's not lying to her. Naomi knows that Ruth is not lying. Except that Naomi might think that they're tricking Ruth. They're giving her bedavka extra to lure her into the field. Ruth wanted to tell Naomi that I'm not being lured. I understand what is going on. It's all min ha-shamayim. How do I know it's min ha-shamayim? Because you see, I took normal amount of food to eat, and I have this much left over. That's min ha-shamayim. So if that's min ha-shamayim, the amount that I collected was also min ha-shamayim. It's not a matter of trying, you know, Ruth, Naomi thinking that Ruth is lying and then she, you know, she's involved with somebody and any of that. She's coming saying innocently, I am an innocent girl, right? And as an innocent girl, maybe some people are trying to lure me into something.
What, I don't understand, why we can't say somebody gave her some extra food?
She says that. She says to Naomi, this is the leftover from the normal size of food that I ate today. I ate half of it and
but
I got full.
She explained it.
That's right. So by saying that, she's indicating, you see, it's something min ha-shamayim, some nisim is working out. And the amount that I collected was also because of the nes. So it's pointing out two things. First of all, what the situation was in those days that Ruth felt that she has to be warned. That kind of a thought that maybe something's going on like that. But we knew that a little bit from Pesukim before too. And two, that she's, Naomi still doesn't know. I'm sorry, Ruth still doesn't know who Boaz is. She just thinks that she came to the field of this guy and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a givat, gave out, which Hashem did. But she still doesn't know the extent of the ness that Hashem is doing for her. But here it comes, Pasuk Yutet. Her mother-in-law said to her, Eful liket hayom, where did you collect today? Anasit, where did you do? Yehi makirech baruch, the one who recognized you should be blessed. But again, lachamoto, and she said to her mother-in-law, En asher asta imo, the person who by whom she did, batomer, and she said, Shema ish asher asiti imo, the name of the person that I did with, Hayom today, Boaz, was Boaz. So, Pasuk Chav, I'm going to come back to this. Pasuk Chav, Atomer Naomi lekalata, Baruch Hula Hashem, he should be blessed to Hashem, Asher lo azav chasdo, Hashem, who did not leave his favor, Hashem's favor. Eda chayim ved ametim, Atomer la Naomi, karov lanu ha'ish, migoalenu hu. He is close to us. He is one of our goalim. Right? One of our redeemers. Okay, so let's go back to the pasuk before. There's a Givaldi Gemidosh on this. What is this Lashon? Asher Asit. Asher Asta Imo. She did with him. Who did with whom? He did with her. He did a favor to her to allow her to collect. What does that mean? The person that you did with him. What did you do with him? You didn't do anything to him. He did with you. He did you a favor by allowing you to collect in his field. So here comes the famous midrash. Asher asa imilo ne'emar. She doesn't say the person who did favor to me. Ela asher asiti imo. But rather what I did to him. Melamed. It teaches. She yoter me'asher ba'alabayit oseim ani. Ose anim ba'alabayit. More favor than the Baal HaBayit does to the Ani, Ani is doing to the Baal HaBayit. Lefikach Amra Rut Asher Asitimo. That's why Rut says, I did with him. Harbe Peulot, the Harbe Tovot. I did a lot of actions, a lot of goodness I did for him. Why? Bishvil Sheachileni Perusachad. For a piece of food that he wants to give me, I am giving him a lot of Zechuyot. So I'm giving you more than you're giving me. That's a fundraising model. That they are doing more with you than you do with them. The Gemara says in Yerushalmi that Ani Yerushalayim used to come and they used to say, Zechebi, get Zechut through me. I'm giving you an opportunity of Zechut. Rabbi Nuri Gizekon Rechai used to say, Rabbi Amiri told me, he said when he wanted to start fundraising, he went to Rabbi Nuri Gizekon, he said, Rabbi, you know, it's difficult. It's embarrassing. Well, how am I supposed to go about this? He said, Rabbi Neuberger told him, you are doing them a favor. You are giving them an opportunity to a mitzvah, to Olam Haba. What else are they going to do with their money? They're going to, you know, use an Olam Hazeh Okay, so they're wasting it, Olam Hazeh. You're doing him a favor. You're giving him Olam Haba. Rabbi Ben David said that when he was in Argentina, I believe, he was a rav there. So there was a building that they wanted to get for the shul, for the school. They wanted to start a school, they wanted to get a building for the school. And there was a gevir who had that building, so they wanted to go to buy it. So he said, a few of the Balabatim came to me. They said, Rabbi, let's go. We're going to go talk to him. You, Rabbi, don't talk. Right? We are businessmen. We know how his language. We'll talk to him. You just be there. You know, you're the symbol of the community. Be quiet, you know. Just sit there. So he said, they sat there and they spoke to him. I think he said he wanted, I don't remember, whatever, $1 million for it. And they didn't have that much money to offer. So they offered, they said, 500, 800, whatever it was. And at the end, it didn't work out. He said, no, nothing less than $1 million, and they were ready to go out, to leave. So he said, I said to them, I heard it from him. He said, I said to them, you finished? You done? They said, yes. Can I talk now? Yes, they could talk now. He said, I looked at the guy, and I said, how much would you give that will make this building yours? He said, what did you say? I said, how much are you willing to pay us that will make this building yours? He said, the guy was, what do you mean? Like, well, Rabbi, do you know what you're talking about? This is my building. He said, no. This building, sooner or later, is not going to be yours. Okay, you're going to leave it and you're going to go. What, 120? How many more years do you have to 120? You're going to leave it and you're going to go. It's not yours. How much money are you willing to give us that will make this building yours forever? That the zechut of the old Torah that's going to be learned, all the kids and all that, will be your zechut forever. How much are you willing to pay for that? He says, first the guy was spellbound, and then we started talking, and he gave us the building. He gave us the building. Huh?
Yeah. The only part I don't believe about that is that he asked permission to be able to speak afterwards.
He said that. He said, I told him, you finished? Can I speak now? It wasn't a permission.
It
was not a permission. It was rubbing in the face. Okay? Now I could talk. Can I talk now? That's how he said it. Okay, so this is the Midrash. So if any, you know, if you come across this memra, you know when the Midrash says it. So Vatomer Naomi, so let's talk about this. No, let me tell you one more thing, then I'm going to talk about this important, the sort of this Goel. What is this Goel business? Vatomer Naomi lekalata. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, Baruch Hu LaHashem, Ashelo azav chasdo et ha-chaim et ha-metim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not leave his favor. Right? You see, Rashi says in Pasuk Chav, et ha-chaim et ha-metim, shezan u-mefarnes et ha-chaim. Hashem is zan u-mefarnes the live people, ve-nitpal besorche ha-metim. And Hashem got involved besorche ha-metim, with the needs of the dead. How did Hashem get involved with the needs of the dead? He's taking care of their food. What's the needs of the dead? She said to him, "Vatomer Naomi, Karov lanu ha'ish. Karov lanu ha'ish. Since he's Karov lanu, he was makirech. He is the one who's providing the food. Hashem is providing our food through him. So Hashem is giving us food easily through him. Shtabach Shem Olad. Migo Aleinuhu, not only is he a Karov, he's also a Goel. One of the Goalim. Migo Aleinuhu. I got it. What's the idea of Goel? So the Pasuk says in tomorrow's parasha, Shabbat's parasha, it says that when a person becomes poor, Ki Yamuch Achicha, If your brother becomes poor and he sells, this is Parashat Vayikra, it's Sefer Vayikra, Perek Chafhei, Pasuk Chafhei, Chafhei Chafhei. Vayikra Chafhei Chafhei. He says if a person becomes poor and he sells his land, Right? Now, the land in Eretz Israel is divided to the Shevatim, and the land is supposed to remain among the Shevatim. Therefore, a person who sells his land to somebody else, the land will come back to him at the end of Shemitah, because Hashem does not want the land to leave one Shevet and go from one Shevet to another Shevet. So whichever land belongs to any Shevet or Bet Av should remain there. What happens if a person becomes poor, umachal ma'achuzato, and he ends up selling part of his lands? This is part of his lands. Rashi says, because he's telling you, you should never sell all of your real estate. You should leave some of the real estate for yourself, because real estate is real estate. Even though in Eretz Israel, the real estate is not yours really. It belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but lemaase, it's more of a real state. That's why it's called real state.
Only like that in Eretz Israel?
Yes. So, if he sells part of his land, uvo go'alo, and his goel should come, HaKarov Elav, who's close to him, the Goalet Nimkar Achiv, and he should redeem the Mimkar Achiv. What's the point of this goel? What is this goel trying to do? Right? So, the goel has money. The goel is his cousin, his uncle. They look and they see this guy ended up selling his field to somebody else. The goel says, I'm a goel. Goel means I am a redeemer. I am a savior. I come and I pay for the land to the guy who bought it. I force him to sell the land to me because he cannot withhold it. I buy it back and I give it back to the owner and say, L'chaim o'shalom. And then the owner would pay me up somehow. We'll work it out. Don't let the guy sell his field, because a guy who sells his real estate in Eretz Israel, he's going to be poor, because their life was agriculture, and agriculture or anything else that they did was, the guy needs to have his business. The guy ended up selling his business. Don't let him be without work. Let him buy his business back, and then he'll pay you slowly, or somehow he'll pay you up. That's the idea of a goel. Goel means that if you are close in somebody's family, you should come and do it. What is the order of the goel? Right? So if the first is brother, and then the immediate, and if the immediate family is not there, the next in the line, and so on and so forth. The closer to the family is first to do the mitzvah of geula. Yes.
Only if the, how does it work? If the guy doesn't know, probably.
Who?
The goel. If the goel knows, he didn't do it to begin with. Now he just remembered that his brother just sold.
Right. He didn't know. Or he wasn't there, or the goel didn't have money at the time. Now he has money to pay it. And that's why the pasuk says, Ve'ish kilo yelo goel. Next pasuk, a person who doesn't have a goel. So Rashi says, how could it be he has no goel? I mean, everybody has some kind of a relative. If it's not his first cousin, it's his second cousin, it's his third cousin, it's his fourth cousin. How could somebody not have a goel? So Rashi says that his goel doesn't have money to do it. Eifu? No, that's someone who doesn't have, Ger doesn't have a land either. That goel, that's somebody who does not have a Yerusha is a Ger. Rashi says,
you
have anybody among the Jews who doesn't have goel? A goel who has the financial ability to be able to buy it back. Maybe they don't have. Maybe everybody is, in that family or extended family are not in that situation. So then the land would come back to him, or he himself becomes rich and he'll buy it. Whatever the Pesukim say. So that's the Indian of goel.
Should be
Ella
Goel
Shin Rotse.
Because eventually you have a
goal
that has money. It could be like
no, Goel has a mitzvah to do it. It's not a Rotse. He has a chiyuv to do it.
20th cousin is a goal too. How far is
yeah, the you go know, as far as he's a goal.
There is somebody
somebody that you that it has to be someone that I guess somebody can do it. So here Naomi says, this guy is Migo Aleinu. He's one of our goalim. That's a chesed to the metim. Because apparently they had these fields that was sold because they didn't have money. And now he's a goyer, so he could come and buy the field of the dead people back, because through the dead people he's a goyer. Now there is one problem over here. You gotta wake up because you have to understand this. What's the mission? Mi goale nu our goel. It's my goel. Why is it now? Why is it Ruth's goel? Ruth has no shaykh to Naomi. Halachically. She has no shaykh to Naomi. She has no shaykh to Naomi's land. What do we mean go alayn with who? He's our goel. Huh? Karov lanu. He is karov to us. Not karov to us, karov to me. And karov to your deceased husband, which was your husband before you became mitgayered. And now that you became mitgayered,
nothing,
no shaykhut. Right? He likes it. That's his malach. Throughout the sefer. She is a stranger here. No. Right? So what is, exactly, so what is this pasuk saying? Migo aleinu, whatever. Now, the emet is, you see that more, even when Boaz came and spoke to her, he says that he says to her that I know haged hugadli kol asher asedet chamotech achare mot ishech, what you did to your mother-in-law after your husband died. One husband, one mother-in-law. Oh yeah, so that you could say maybe he didn't really mean it. He meant you know, the one who supposed that he was your husband, or the one who supposed that he was your mother-in-law is your mother-in-law. You can't say that. But here is mama. She says migo alenu our goel, not my goel. Karovli, she could have said, Karovli Haish, Migo Alihu. What Migo Alenu?
Why don't we say she was converted before she married, no?
Okay, there is one Mandamar who holds like that, one of the Mefarshim, but majority of the Mefarshim, Rashi clearly, and Chazal clearly, are not like that, because when she wants to come back with Naomi, Naomi says, go back, what are you coming with me? When go back what? They should become a goy. They became a Jew. Why is she rejecting them? And more so, we learned all the Hilchot Gerut from the discussion of Naomi has with Ruth. So Pashtut, she's already mitgayeret. You're going to see from Rashi. Rashi doesn't learn like that. It will be later on. But according to many Mefarshim and the Midrash, the way we go, right now she's already mitgayeret. That means after they came back from Sedei Moab, she became a Gioret. Then she head out to collect leket shicha upea as a shaliach of Naomi, or as her own shaliach. She's a poor person, and now still Boaz is referring to her as, or Naomi as this girl goel. So okay. So before I tell you a word on this, I'm going to tell you this way is going to wake you all up. But before I tell you that pshat, I want to tell you another midrash. What does Naomi say? Naomi say, this guy, karov lanu ha'ish. This guy is our relative. Boaz is gadol ador. What do you say? Karov lanu ha'ish. He's our relative. She should have said, we are his relative. We are his relative. He is the master. We are his relative. Oh, we are mishpacha to him. Not that he's mishpacha to us. Frank the Midrash. Amar Shmuel bar Nachmani. Boaz gadol hador haya. Boaz was gadol hador. Ve'ha'isha. And this lady, Naomi, Asta otu karov lahen. She makes him karov to them. She had to say, we are karov to him. Shenema karov lanu ha'ish. So what's the pshat? Oh, yeah, what's the pshat? What's the pshat? It's a pshat for life. So the Torah Tamima says a pshat, beautiful, gorgeous pshat. He says, the kavana is, the pasuk is, Midrash is telling you that Naomi wanted to give confidence to Ruth. Here, Naomi already has it all planned out. As soon as Naomi hears Boaz, she says, it's all planned out. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is working it out, that you ended up in her land, it's all planned out. It's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So she's going to tell him soon, we're going to see, in a few pesukim, not tonight, but we're going to see. She's going to tell her that go get ready and go to him, and he'll tell you what to do, which means that he should do Yibum to her. So in Naomi's mind, it's all planned out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is setting up the situation that Ruth is going to be married to Boaz. Right? But imagine this Ruth, a Moabi girl who came from Moab, who, you know, she's a Nochriya, she keeps calling her, I'm a Shivcha, I don't even consider like one of your Shivchatech, right? And she's Nochriya. She's going to approach Boaz and become his wife. I mean, you're kidding me, Boaz? What shaykhus? So she wanted to blow confidence into her. He is our relative. Who is our? Go back to the beginning. I'm the wife of Elimelech. Elimelech is called Elimelech. Why? Malchut tabo elai. Elai tabo amalchut. Malchut comes to us. And Elimelech knew, and now you're not going to like it again, Elimelech knew that Malchut is going to come to them, and they had it the Mesorah, that Malchut is going to come from Moab. And over here, it's all happening. She says, you know what? You shouldn't think that we need him. He is our Karov. Right? He is the one who's going to bring the kingdom to us. Elai tavo amalchut. So, you know, hold your head high. Okay, not to be gaivedik, but have some confidence. Hakavana ki rasa Naomi was a lehit hader lifnei Ruth. She wanted to give glory in front of Ruth. Be'erech mishpachta, you should know who your family is. Appreciate your family. Therefore, it didn't say Kerovim anu la'ish. We are close to him. Ela, he's close to us. And therefore, Ubaze, and through this, Erka, the value of Ruth, is the Erech Mishpachta, is the value of her family, her mother-in-law. That's where she's coming from. She's coming from beside her mother-in-law. Her value is greater than Erko Shel Boaz. She's saying that because of Elai Tavo Malchut, that a person, when he wants to do something important, he should not hold himself low. When you're going to do something, if you're ready to do it, don't hold yourself low. You have to hold your head high.
That's interesting that the Midrash says that by when Moshiach comes, they're going to offer to all the people to say Kiddush.
And David HaMelech says,
let me do it.
Yeah, that's right. The li na'el and ani avarech, but na'el avarech.
Everyone says their problems. I have this problem. I have this kid. He says, no, let me do it.
Exactly. Very good. That's what malchut is. Malchut, the job of a melech is that, you know, he has to elight of a malchut. Okay.
Is that how the person is supposed to be asking?
No. There is because David HaMelech was.
I offered him. It was in the next in line.
I mean, that benching was not the time of benching. Okay, so what is this Indian of Goel? Okay. The Ramban writes in the beginning, in the story of Yehuda and Tamar, that the one of the Sod Gadol from the secrets of Torah is that, and he says he could see it, and it's those who are able to see could see this. Those Hashem Natan Lahem Hashem Enayim, those that Hashem gave eyes to them, are able to see this. Those who have ears to hear, they hear it. And even the Chachamim Kodem Torah, they knew this, that there is a big toilet when the brother marries his brother's wife, his deceased brother's wife. And not only a brother, the brother is the first in line to do that. And after brother, HaKarob HaMishpacha, anybody who's close in the family, have the din to do that. Because anyone, HaKarob Elav HaMishpachto, who normally would Yarshin the Nachala, the same way that Yerusha goes, you know, if the guy doesn't have any, you know, if the father is not there, brothers are not there, so it's going to go to his uncles. He has no kids. It's going to go to his uncles. So there are other relatives in the Seder of the Yerusha. The same way there are relatives in the Seder of Yagia Merut, right? The same way there is a Seder in the people who do Yibum. V'hayunu hagim lisa eshet hamet. They used to have the minhag to marry the wife of the deceased person, either the brother or the father or karov min hamishpacha. And Midrash says, he brings the Midrash, and Midrash says Yehuda started it. Yehuda knew about the secret of what a favor it is to the brother who passed away to do such a thing. And therefore he wanted his sons to do it, and therefore he was mezares. But when he saw that the sons were dying, so he sort of pulled back. Then when he ended up doing it himself,
was done to him.
Right. So that's why he said it was a good thing, right?
It was
masculine that it was a good thing. And that's why there are Mefarshim who say that Yehuda did not continue to be with Tamar, because he wanted it that it would be known that the only reason they ended up being with each other was only to be Mekayim, this Mitzvah of Yibum. Rashi brings one mandama that says that he didn't continue to be with her, because it wasn't just Tam, you know, another wife to him, but rather it was a kium of this union, he did it. Now Rabbeinu Bechaye says, you ready for this? Rabbeinu Bechaye says, he says, you should know that after a person passes away, there are many times, the Zohar HaKadosh, there are many times that the nefesh would come back with Gilgul. Right? Zohar HaKadosh says, Afilu Elef Pa'amim. Right? Elef Dorot. The nefesh is a chesed. He says a chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done to a nefesh, because if the nefesh doesn't have tikkun, would not go to Olam Abba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a chesed to the nefesh to come back and get tikkun. And if he messes it up again, do it again. Messes up again, do it again. Mashal Demad Avardome, Chazal say, a person wanted to plant kerem, a vineyard. And then as the vine was, you know, the vine were growing, all other plants, other thorns were also growing. So he uprooted the whole thing and replanted the vine. And again, other stuff grew. He uprooted the whole thing, replanted the vine. Ad kama, ad erev dorot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would do it till the person comes out good. So Zorg to Rabbeinu Bechaye, the Yadua, it's known, ki tigdal hana'ad ha-nefesh, when an extra chesed to the nefesh, the neshama, is when the neshama comes back into the family. The neshama would like it more when he comes back to the same family that he was in. Ki tigdal hana'ad ha-nefesh keshe mitgalgilet b'mi shehu karov min ha-mishpacha. And the closer, the better. That's why the mitzvah was given to the brother, which means, he says, that really the Torah comes along and says, Karom mishpacha is asur to marry. A person cannot marry his aunt. A person cannot marry his, his daughter-in-law. Right? A person cannot marry his brother's wife. But the Torah went ahead and was matir this isur, the surah mitzvah of Yibum, that says that a sister-in-law, the wife of a brother, is mutar to marry when they don't have a child, to be mekayim this mitzvah.
Has to be, right.
Well,
should they know the nefesh of the brother is coming back?
Yeah. He says, and he says, when the Yavam, when the brother does not want to do Yibum, nechshav lo la'achzariyut. This is considered that he is cruel because he is not treating the neshama of his brother fairly. He is forcing, so to speak, in a way, the neshama brother should go to an extended family or somewhere else that we don't know. So therefore, the brother would marry the wife, and through that marriage, the neshama of the brother who passed away will come back. So therefore, Mefarshim say that even though Mina Torah, the mitzvah is given for the brother, that is the Ikar mitzvah, and others do not have a mitzvah, but the Inyan is still there. The Inyan is still there. The Torah says, if he doesn't want to do it, they give her chalitza. And now she could go and marry whoever she wants. But if there is somebody within her family who is close to her, meaning someone who's mutar to marry her, and the two decide to marry, that's a favor to the nefesh of the niftar. But that's not a chiyuv.
Even the father-in-law?
Huh?
Even the father-in-law?
Father cannot marry her. It's also. A father cannot marry a daughter-in-law. By Yehuda.
Yeah.
By Yehuda it happened because back then the Torah was not given. So that issue didn't exist. Right? So Yehuda did it though. Just like Yaakov Avinu married two sisters. The Torah was not given. The issue was not given. But once the Torah gave the issue, the father cannot do it. And the brother doesn't want to do it. Let's say he doesn't want to do it. So he gives chalitza. The father can't do it. Who can do it? I don't know. Maybe an extended relative. If they want to do it afterwards. That would be a favor to the nefesh of the niftar.
Is that why they name after somebody? Like relative and stuff like that?
What's it?
No, they're giving a name is a different zach.
Once they're making a mutter, why don't you make a mutter for everyone?
Yeah, sure. The Torah didn't do that. The Torah only gave once the Torah asked all the arayot, so only allowed this part as a chesed to the niftar. Now, so here they say like this. Who says this? I forgot who says this. Chudik. I left my page behind. I don't know who said this. I have to remember who said it. He says the answer to this thing that when Mahlon married Ruth, even though that marriage was not a marriage because she was not a Jew, she was a Goya, but the fact that they were together, it created a bond between them. And Naomi says to Ruth that the ruach of Mahlon is in you. Now it doesn't matter if Ruth was a goy or afterwards became a Jew. Lemaise, the ruach or the nefesh of Mahlon that connected to Ruth is still there.
That's the issue.
Huh? Even though it was the issue. But Lemaise is there. Since it's there, there is still an inyan of bringing that neshama back. So even though there is no mitzvah yibum d'oraita over here, but that concept is still there. The concept of doing a favor to that neshama is there. In other words, the nefesh of Mahlon and nefesh of Ruth, they got connected to each other, even though it was the issue. Even though she was a goy. And Mimela, she will be able to bring back the nefesh of Mahlon.
Nefesh of a goy got connected to a nefesh of a Jew.
No. Nefesh of the Jew got connected to this lady. Now this lady, Lamaise, is the same goof. Whatever the goof is, even though she goes in and she comes out the same goof. She doesn't become somebody else. So that spiritual connection is still there. And that spiritual connection is what that needs to be brought about through Yibum.
But the spiritual connection should not be there, or cannot be there, because the spiritual connection only happens through a mitzvah, not through a...
Not tafka, mechitesh. Who told you that? They got connected. You want to say the person was mezane with an eshet, with a goy, right? Is mezane, which is a goy? Keshura alav kekelef. Even ba'olam abba, she's going to be connected to him. As it says by Yosef, it says, Yosef did not want to be lishkaf eslal yod ima. He didn't want to lay next to her to be with her. What does that mean, lay next to her and be with her? Because had he lay next to her, he would have been with her in olam abba too. It creates a certain connection.
There's no way to
do the teshuva for it? Huh? Right? There is a way to do teshuva for the avera. The question is, if a person does teshuva and kapara, that kapara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu might disconnect, Hashem would, through his chesed, would disconnect that lady from him.
So, in theory, this happens nowadays also, that it would still be the same idea. Someone's with a guy, and the guy is
with a guy,
and the same concept
with
life.
This was Bizmanazeh. This was after Matan Torah.
So it's the same thing.
Yeah. Abarbanel does reject this whole idea. Before you go with this, the Midrash goes with this, Mekubalim go with this, they all go with this. The Malbim goes with this straight. Abarbanel has a whole different approach. You hear? Abarbanel has a whole different approach to this. He says, what Yibum? What are you talking about? He rejects it off the bat. Straight. He says, why Yibum? What did you do? People say Yibum. The goyel had nothing to do with Yibum. The child had nothing to do with Naomi. All these riots that they bring, Abba Rabbanel rejects. He says, it's all was the idea of redeeming the guy's land. Goyel of the land. Except that the minhag was that since you're doing a favor and taking care of the land, take care of the poor lady too. She needs a husband. So take care of her. Huh? No, that's the halakha of, that's a Kenyan Suda. Right, Khalipin.
It's a very bad, chinuch for the children, the whole story, because you keep telling them if you go with a goy, don't worry, it's gonna happen. The root did it.
Nobody said it's gonna happen. Okay, it's not a bad chinuch, they need to know, right?
If you go with the goy, then eventually...
No, other rabbi, over here that they went, they thought something good would come, they were expecting something good to come out of it, okay? But they didn't, and they got punished, and they died, right? So don't do anything that's foolish, because you're going to have problems. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants good things to come out, good things will come out regardless.